you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Believe You Me podcast. We're back, baby. Boys, what's up, Count?
I'm very good, Count. Rattlesnake, I'm fine, thank you very much. I'm good. I was trying to think of something witty and something silly to say, like we usually do have at the start of the show, but nothing. All business Bisping today, you see?
I see. I like it. Listen, I know you've been a very busy man. I heard you and your lovely wife having a conversation before we started about, and I shit you not, guys, about horse purchasing options. The great Michael Bisping, the everyman Michael Bisping. Oh, my God. This guy, he's just like you and me, everyone. He's purchasing a horse.
I am just like you. I mean, we are all human beings, okay? You check my DNA against yours, it's almost the same, apart from some bits of mine are probably a bit better. But other than that...
A couple extra chromosomes, it's okay.
Or maybe a couple less, who knows? You're busting my balls, mate. No, my wife rides horses, right? My daughter rides horses also. We pay a lot of money for that facility, that service. So
how much before we even go into you purchasing your own horse now, because obviously it's a financial decision. You have to, at this point, you know, you rent a horse 85 times. At one point,
I don't know why I'm being mocked for this. Do you know what I mean? This blows my ass off. I've got a Hall of Fame thing behind me. I've got one eye. I've sacrificed my body. And my wife is into horse riding. You know, she's a very happy woman. But I thought she needed a hobby. So a couple of years ago for Christmas, I got her some horse riding lessons. And now that's grown into a passion. And now she would like a horse. And, you know, listen. It is what it is. I don't know. Why am I getting mocked? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this wasn't my idea. Luce is like, I'm giving you shit for this on the show.
Yeah.
Well, go on, buddy. Take your best shot, pal.
I'm just, listen to me. It's not even a bad thing to be mocked for. Oh my God, you're so successful that you're now purchasing horses. It's not a bad place to be in. I would trade places with you in a heartbeat. I'm just saying that it is a pretty fucking highfalutin thing to be doing, to be having a conversation right before you're about to go on your podcast that we do.
No,
on fucking
that's the reason being is because that's when my wife just walked in. She just walked through the door. She'd been to visit it. She went horse riding this morning. She said afterwards, I'm gonna go to Chino Hills, I'm gonna go check out this horse, yada yada yada. So as we were still doing our thing, messing with the cameras and microphones and doing the ads and all that shit, she walked in. So of course I'm gonna say, oh, how was the horse? It's called being a good partner, Lewis. I'm just checking on her welfare. How was the drive home? Have you had lunch? Have you got a headache? How's everything? Amongst all that, I just threw in, how's the horse? Was it a good one? Was it a bad one? Etc. Etc.
If my chick made me buy her a horse, she would have to ride it everywhere. Like, that's it. That's the way she's getting around. I'd get rid of the Range Rover. She's got the horse now.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not a bad idea, but you know, it's not the best mode of transportation, let's be honest. No, she likes horses. My daughter likes horses as well. So screw it. Why not? It's a great, you know, I'd like to have a horse in the family as well. And Lucas is obsessed with animals. He wants to be a vet. You know what I'm saying? And at the stables, there's all chickens and hens and cows. It's a beautiful place and it's a good environment for them to be. And I've worked my ass off and screw it. We can afford it. So why not? By the way, you might sit there and say highfaluting. But, you know, you ever go back? I think we talked about this. Look at all those Western movies. Are they highfaluting types? Was Clint Eastwood bobbing about the rough Western landscapes with a silver spoon in his mouth? No,
of course. That's how they
fucking got chewing tobacco. Thing, you know what I mean? Any fucking hillbilly can have a horse. Why does that all of a sudden make me la-di-da? By the way, it's not even me getting the horse. I can't even ride a fucking horse.
How much? Don't let's just guess on how much it costs to purchase a horse, because I have no idea. It could be, the range in my head is, and I'm sure I can get a lot more expensive, and I'm sure you can get a lot shittier of a horse, but I'm going to say between $10,000 and $30,000 is where that's the range in my head that it's going to go. $10,000 to $30,000 to buy this horse, and yeah, then obviously however much it costs to, you know, have it live in a stable and have somebody take care of it every day.
Yeah, but that's the thing, isn't it? It's the stable costs and all the rest of it that I'm concerned about. The one-off payment, of course, it's just like buying a car. Just like buying a car, however fancy you want to go. Do you want an old, shitty, beat-up piece of crap? Or do you want a nice, fancy one? Something that Khaleesi might wear, ride upon.
Or do you want something in the middle, like me?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to get into prices and things like that. But it's
why not?
Because you sound like an asshole.
No, you don't. Shut up. We can talk about the price of the horse. That's crazy.
All right, whatever. Who cares? No, she's been to see one now. It's $25,000.
I was right.
25 Gs. But she says, oh, that's value for money. The thing that's really concerning me, is she said it's 14 years old, right? I'm like, that's used goods. You know, I said, how long did they live? About 30. I'm like, why are we buying a horse that is 40, halfway through its life, and it's going to die soon? You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, and she said, well, if you want a younger one, apparently if it's younger, they're harder to ride and they're not as well trained. Obviously, this is her first horse. You know what I mean? So it needs to be an applicable type of horse, obviously. So and by the way, it'll just like race cars, you want a fancy horse that's going to run in races. That could cost you millions of dollars.
So this is a straight up good middle of the road horse. This is like a Ford Fusion.
I have no idea. In fact, Rebecca, get this over here. He's asking me questions. I'm waffling on anything.
This is like a Kia. You're getting her.
Yeah. Well, we're bringing. There's a chair here with your name on it. Slide over. Oh God!
It's actually a saddle.
She says, "Am I allowed to?" Oh no! Don't get me started on the saddle. We got her a saddle last year. That was $5,000 for the saddle alone.
She would be riding. I'd get her an old mule, and she'd be riding it bareback. That's it. She would be like a.
Oh yeah, you need to hear.
Like a Mexican farmer.
Just put that in, babe. Put that in. So, field your questions at Rebecca because I do not know the answers. Lean over a bit, darling.
Rebecca,
hey, Lewis.
First of all, you're incredible. You know I love you, but stop being a woman and put the fucking earphone in the other ear, obviously, not the one further away from
me. Oh, my God. Rebecca.
I always do that.
Jeez Louise, please. Just edit that bit out. Edit that bit out. It's a joke. Don't touch.
Can I move that?
No, you can't. Just lean in. Lean in. Just you can. You're doing it right.
Jerking this away from my ear.
Please, this is terrible podcasting.
For the audio listeners, I don't want to see what they're talking about.
Yeah. Go on. So, Lewis, everything you ask me, ask her, because I have no idea. She wants a horse. I'm like, okay, I wear my ass off all the time.
As do I.
She wants a horse, then you can have one.
So we were discussing the quality of your horse. So Bisping's telling me this thing's halfway to death.
That's very incorrect. First of all, I don't know how long horses live, but I'm going to say a good 30.
Can I also say?
So you could say that he is in his prime.
Yeah, but you could also say that he's got 1 foot in the grave. You could say that this horse.
Well, he doesn't because I just rode him, Michael. I can clearly tell you.
Go on, Lewis.
Sorry, I said one hoof in the grave. Thank you. So, listen, Rebecca, your first thing out of your mouth, you say, I don't even know how long horses live. And that just makes me say, how committed really is she to this horse lifestyle? She didn't even Google. A simple Google search would have given her that answer. This is
no
the way she spent.
For how long horses live. I don't know. I'm going to say a good 30. I don't know.
30 to 40 years is what she believes.
But I'm gonna learn on the job. This is how you learn. You just got to do it.
It is. She wants to become a horse person. She goes 3 times a week. That is her life, essentially. I'm busy working all the time. The kids are getting a little bit older. You know what I'm saying? She needs a little horsey, a little yeehaw.
It has to be a fabulous horse. I can't have a yeehaw horse. I can't have a Western horse.
It's got to be a brown horse. It's got to be a pure white horse.
I said a brown horse.
He's white.
No, he's white. I said, like, white. No.
I knew Rebecca Bisping was going to want a gorgeous white horse.
He's gorgeous.
Can you say, give me a phone while you talk to Lewis. Give me a picture of it. I'll send it to Brian. Yeah, no. She showed me a picture. It was a white horse. I said, why would you want a white horse?
Excuse me, a dog. Khaleesi rides a white horse in Game of Thrones. Yeah. Thank you very much. So if it's good enough for her, it's good enough for me.
If Rebecca could have her way, she'd have a fucking unicorn, Bisping. It'd have big wings like the Paramount Pictures logo.
B. McKay.
Hang on, let me make sure it's a good one first.
Oh my God, babe, we are podcasting here. Keep talking.
Well, this is pure. This is unexpected. I didn't know you were going to do this.
Oh, he's going through a phone. This is the beginning of the end of the relationship. Here we go.
It's okay. But nothing to hide.
She's sweating. She's really watching your fingers, Bisping. I don't know what's happening.
No. Michael's the one that freaks out. If I take his phone and I have it for slightly longer than I should, he starts reaching for it. I'm like, yeah, why are you reaching for it?
Of course. Get out of his phone, you wench.
Yeah, exactly. Give him a goddamn. You just mess with your things and I'll mess with my things. Thank you very much.
I will mess with my things. Thank you.
Yeah, not when the kids are around, please. I've just emailed it to you, Brian. So Tate, if you want to put it on the screen, this is the horse that she wants to buy. It's $25,000. What's he called?
Kalisto.
Kelly, terrible fucking name.
I can change the name. That's fine.
That's a terrible name.
He's 16 hands too, so he's nice and big and fabulous. Hold on, slow down.
What's his name? Kalisto?
Kalisto.
Stupid name.
Kalisto.
Listen, I think it's nice.
No, listen, if we buy that horse, which I don't want to buy that horse, but if we do, there's no way we are calling it Kalisto.
You're naming it Dan Henderson.
It's the stupidest name. Kalisto, come on, Kalisto. People go, oh my God. They were inspired by Khaleesi, but they thought they'd change it a little bit.
Also, are you planning on having your horse get lost in your neighborhood? Why would you be calling it that way?
I know. Oh, he's got his tongue hanging out.
Yeah, that's not a good looking horse. Is there another one, Brian? I sent you. No, I don't like it.
Michael, you know nothing about.
I mean, I see a nice bit of muscle tone at the front. He looks big. He looks handy, you know, but still, he looks, if Harrington was a horse, he'd look like that. He looks a bit stupid and a bit special in the eyes.
Can you zoom in a little bit on him? I got to see his face.
Let's take a look at the face. Zoom in. It's just the eyes. He looks very vacant. Look at that. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what day it is. And what is that around his mouth anyway? That bloody fluffy thing.
It's the halter.
Yeah. Anyway.
See, this makes me think I shouldn't get one because you're just going to mock me the whole time.
Rebecca, I am joking. It's a beautiful horse. I'm being silly. It's a very, very nice horse. Anyway.
How do you tell it's a nice horse, though? So, Rebecca, what when you go see a horse, what do you look at? Like, for, you know, would you, like, you kick the tires of an old car? Do you, like, do you see the Carfax report? You got to see if anybody's fallen and broken their neck on your horse?
Well, I mean, that's impossible, but I rode him. I felt very safe on him.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we got a horse coming our way soon.
I hope so. Can I ride your horse?
Of course. You can ride my horse.
Of course. All right, Tyrone. Yeah, that's lock, stock, and two smoking barrels. Of course, Tyrone.
I'm doing Mr. Ed. Obviously, you fucking foreigner.
What would you call a horse? If you had a horse, Lewis, what would you name it? Would you call it Kalisto?
No.
What's wrong with that?
It's a stupid name.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's everything wrong with that name. It is just, it's not endearing. It's not cute. It's not fancy. It fits no box other than them being a bad ripoff of the name Khaleesi. That is all. And is it a man or a woman? Is it a male or is it a foal, a stallion?
It's a gelding.
What's a gelding?
A male horse that's no longer got its bits.
What did he used to have his bits?
Yes, up until a few years ago.
He was fixed.
Yeah.
He had his balls trimmed.
I can't ride a stallion.
So a stallion is one that
you
has his balls trimmed?
You ride a stallion every fucking night of the week, Rebecca.
Oh, shit. Bam, bam, bam. Michael Bisping said it best. Michael Bisping said it
best. Sorry, Rebecca's parents. I couldn't resist that one. Sorry. Anyway.
Harrington, you really are a gilding. That's what Harrington reminds me of.
Is it gelding?
A horse without his balls.
Yeah. So when do you think we're going to... So do you want to buy this horse?
Yes.
When would that happen? If you wanted it, just so I know. Because by the way, Lewis, this
ASAP.
Is how, stop. This, you know how this started, Lewis? I said, okay, you've been riding them for 2 years now. Maybe, you know, when you get a little more experience, we can get your horse, right? For Christmas. I said, for Christmas. End of the year. So we've got another year, right? and you'll improve your riding skills and all the rest of it. We'll build up to it. And at the end of the year, which is Christmas, we'll get you a horse. And now she's looking at horses and now she wants to buy it. And I said, don't go and look at it because you're going to want to buy it. And you say, oh no, it's not like that. It's not that quick of a process. You have to look around many. It can take 6 months to find the right horse. You went one day and now you want to buy it.
This is the first horse you've seen, Rebecca?
No, it's not. This is the second.
Well, I think there needs to be a 3, 4, 5.
What difference does it?
How shitty was that other horse? I mean, this horse looks very nice. I'm just saying, what was the problem with the other horse? Why'd you pass?
He was too lazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was a Harrington of horses.
And I'm lazy enough. I make horses lazy.
Yeah, she
what
is
do you
lazy.
Mean that? Why do you mean lazy? Like, you just
well, like, I just, I don't know. They just, they're lazy for me.
There's no gallop to his step?
Well, I can make him gallop, but...
What,
I don't know.
What are you training to be? What is the style of riding?
Well, I want to start jumping.
Yeah. Jumping over.
That's jumps.
Yeah, yeah. Jumping over like, well, I don't know, but like barriers. What do they call them? Bars?
I don't know. It's jumps.
She hasn't like done the research.
Show jumping.
She puts no thought into this, Bisping.
I know. Jumps. Probably I want to start not. Jumping. I know. I get it. Get out of here. Go
oh,
on.
Oh, I'm leaving.
Yes, please. Can we do our show now? Now you want to ridicule me? I apologize to all the listeners.
That's a better show. Listen to me. We should do an entire podcast about horses with Rebecca Bisping.
Yeah, that he wants to do an entire show about horses with you, Beck. Stay tuned. We got horses. Oh,
horses
man.
For courses with
horses
Rebecca Bisping.
Courses with Rebecca Bisping. Yeah. So there you go. There you go. Anyway. Can we get
babe.
On with the show now?
Babe.
Ask her if she wants a horse.
Two things. Number one, can you make me more coffee? Number one, can you make me more coffee? Number two, would you want a horse if I was going to buy you one? Would you want a horse? Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's get going. Let's get going with the show, guys. Oh, I'm sure it is a good woman. All right, let's just take a quick second to hear from one of our sponsors, BetDSI.com. You know the deal. You're going to be watching fights. You might as well have a little flutter. Maybe you haven't betted before, but let me tell you, if you do, it will change your experience because you're watching the fights, you listen to the podcast, you're like, I have an inkling who may win this weekend, and you want to know where to go. Well, guess what? BetDSI have you covered, and of course, we have an amazing deal with you. So when you put some money down, you get some more in return, but it will change your viewing experience. Won't it, Lewis?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And this weekend, we got Kevin Holland versus Derek Brunson. Holland coming in at a minus 179 favorite. Brunson plus 146 underdog. Look, this is a great fight to bet on. If you don't have any skin in the game, if you don't have anything already riding on this, this is a way to get up this weekend and be on the edge of your seat. Not only that, they have every sport. Obviously, basketball, baseball, football, anything you can name, BetDSI gives you the best odds on it. Guaranteed, and also a really easy to use interface. Bisping, I'm not technologically savvy, okay? If it's not easy, I will just turn it away right away. I'll delete that app. BetDSI makes it super easy to use.
Yeah, and that's a big one because a lot of these betting websites, I must admit, I'm not the most tech-savvy guy. I'm not a moron, but I'm not the best. And sometimes even I, the great Michael Bisping, get a little stumped. Seriously, some of them are really, really tricky to use. BetDSI, very, very easy. There's always customer care and support on hand 24/7, 365. And they have a history of fast payment of winnings. That's a very, very crucial one. So, of course, as I say, we have a great offer for you. Go to BetDSI.com. Lewis, what's the promo code?
The promo code this week is MADME, M-A-D-M-E. You're going to get 123% bonus on whatever you deposit. So for every $100 you put down, you're going to get to play with $223. Great way to cash up, make some money. And just remember, there is a rollover requirement if you use any of that bonus cash, okay? So if you guys just want to sign in and use the code, that's fine. If you opt in for the bonus cash, you have to roll over and gamble a certain amount of times before you can take your winnings out. But either way, go do it at BetDSI.com. Go use that promo code MADME. Go enjoy the fights this weekend. All right, where were we?
All right, obviously we got big fights at the weekend. Kevin Holland is taking on Derek Brunson, so we'll get into all that stuff. But we got a lot of stuff here, a lot of notes going on that broke kind of as we were on the air last time or maybe just afterwards. And the thing that I'm referring to there is UFC 261 taking place in Florida. Whereabouts in Florida is it? Who cares? It's in Florida, we know that. UFC 261 fans. 15,000 people hopefully going to be in attendance. Jacksonville, Florida.
Which
That's going to be
which
awesome.
Which event is this?
UFC 261, there's three title fights. Usman versus Masvidal. There's Rose versus Zhang Weili. And then Jessica Andrade taking on Valentina Shevchenko. Three title fights. Crowds back for the first time in a long time, just over a year. It's going to be amazing. It really is. So I tweeted Dana White. I went, put me in, coach. But of course, you know, I don't call the pay-per-views, maybe one day. But yeah, that's awesome, man.
That's incredible. It makes me very excited. And the UFC is sort of, they've just sort of been a little bit at the head of the game with everybody else. All the other live events, concerts, sporting events, they've just been a beat ahead of everybody. And what it tells me is that things are going to really start opening back up. 15,000 people, that's a huge event, massive event. I feel...
Some may call it a super spreader.
Some might say it's extremely dangerous and irresponsible, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about how great it is.
Yeah, because listen, I want to be there. I want to be there because the crowd at a UFC event is always great. It's always wild. And that's what it is, one of the best indoor sporting events. Of course, you know, they had to adjust to the pandemic, right? So no crowds, as we know. But I'm just saying, with the first time, that feeling when there's a huge crowd and the fights are on, the crowd's going to go extra insane. They're going to be even louder than normal. Everyone's going to be so excited for it. The fights will deliver. Even John Anik or whoever it is going into the octagon, Joe Rogan, doing the interviews in person with the crowds cheering. Oh, man, I can't wait. I cannot wait. It's going to be epic.
What is the date of this event?
I'm not sure. I know it's in April, I believe. Yeah, so we got a pay-per-view next weekend. It's the next pay-per-view. So some point in April, I'm not sure of the exact date off the top of my head.
Wow.
There you go. I'm going to go. Even though I'm not working, I'm going to try and go and try and get tickets and then maybe stick around Florida for a few days. Why not?
I'm in Florida that week before.
Ooh. Sucks to be you, bro. Sucks to be you.
Stick around.
Also, stick around it.
Like a two-hour flight.
Where, Jacksonville, from where you're at?
No, from New York. It's like 3 hours maybe at the
moment. Oh, sorry. Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. 2 hours. Why not? Yeah. Yeah, man, what a great fight card as well. Usman versus Masvidal. Yeah, man, I'm very, very excited. 15,000 people in attendance. Make some noise. Going to be a good one. What should we get into, though? Paolo, by the way, Paolo Costa out of his fight with Robert Whittaker. That's annoying. That was on April 17th, I want to say, because I was calling that one. Why is Costa out? Harrington, can you jump on? Is there any word as to actually why he withdrew from the fight? I know he's citing an illness.
Yeah, so he initially said it was an illness. His coach is coming out now and saying that it may be related to COVID-19. If you remember, Costa got it maybe like a month, 6 weeks ago, something in that range. And similar to the Khamzat thing, he may be having trouble recovering from it. So he said in a statement it was like a flu-like symptoms. He just, you know, has a sickness he can't quite beat. So he's not going to be able to train and be ready for the 17th.
Yeah, well, that's a shame because it was a good fight. But I tell you what, Gastelum versus Whittaker, that's also a great fight. Remember, they were booked at, it was for a title fight. When was it? And Robert Whittaker had to withdraw. He had some kind of injury. And then we had Gastelum parading around with a belt over his shoulder like the uncrowned champ. Obviously before he lost a couple, but go on, Harrington, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, I put it out there to the fans on the Believe You Me YouTube channel. I threw out, you know, the highest ranked guy who didn't have an opponent was Jack Hermanson. Threw that out, threw out the winner of this weekend's Holland and Brunson. And the fans agreed. They wanted to see Kelvin Gastelum get in there the most with Robert Whittaker. So as far as setting up a title, like a possible title eliminator, I think this is a pretty fun fight.
No, absolutely. You know, I mean, definitely a title eliminator for Whittaker. You know, if Whittaker wins, then he will have beaten Cannonier, Till, and Kelvin Gastelum. I mean, that's three good, big, solid wins. So I guess he would get a title fight. But is he? Were we talking about this on the last show? Izzy was talking about it the other day. He was going through, you know, the middleweight landscape. And he said that if Kevin Holland wins this weekend, that he doesn't deserve a title shot if he beats Brunson. He said if Darren Till wins, he gets a title fight. Robert Whittaker, as I say, if he wins, I would have thought, Lewis, that he gets a title fight. Yeah. From
Who did Gastelum last fight?
He lost to, pardon me, beat Ian Heinisch a few weeks ago. I think it was a few weeks ago.
Right.
Out-wrestled Ian Heinisch for three rounds. Entertaining fight, actually. Good fight. So he beat Ian Heinisch. Prior to that, he got a heel hooked of Jack Hermanson in about, I don't know, a minute or something like that. Very, very quick. anyway. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Whitaker, it's kind of weird because he's been the number one contender after his last win. So it's he just sort of been was he's he came out and was like, did he essentially say he wasn't ready?
No, I think he just said, you know, because it was a bad loss to Israel Adesanya. Israel beat him very convincingly, you know. It wasn't even a fight. Izzy went out there and smoked him, simple as that. Now, I'm sure with some adjustments, Whitaker could have a better chance. But he got beat. He got beat. So he's like, I don't want to go straight back in there. I don't know if he said those exact words, but he just wanted more time. He wanted more time away. And to be honest, probably a smart thing, you know, because if he'd have got a title shot straight away and lost it, you know, then he's not going to get a third one. You know what I mean? They're not going to give him another chance. He's gone away. He's getting experience. He's getting, you know, getting rid of that, those cobwebs or that gun shyness or just those demons that remain in his soul from Israel Adesanya, just starching him like that. You know, that becomes a thing of the past, the more time away. So it builds his confidence, beating guys like Cannonier, Whitaker, and if he beats Gastelum, and if he beats Gastelum, then there's only one choice for that. If he beats those three guys, he has to fight for the title.
Yeah, the middleweight division's in sort of a weird position right now, right? It feels like it's kind of held up with Whitaker, you know, already losing to Izzy, and him being the true number one contender. It just sort of, it feels like there's just like a weird, almost bottleneck happening in the middleweight division right now.
Yeah, I know Izzy really wants to have a fight with Darren Till. And obviously that's great news for Darren Till and Darren Till fans around. And I get it. You know, Till is a, you know, he's a star. Till's a star. He's hilarious. We all love him on this podcast. And he's a great fighter, you know, and stylistically it'd be a fun fight. He's not going to be someone that goes out and wrestles, is he? You know what I mean? It's going to be a good old-fashioned kickboxing match. So that'd be good. But I know Derek Brunson, I keep saying Derek Brunson, his opponent, Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland was talking this week about Israel Adesanya. Them two don't like each other. Apparently they had some kind of run-in. But this week we spoke to Kevin Holland and he had some kind of nasty things to say. Have you got the video, by the way, Harrington, of him talking about Izzy? But he was saying to us, and he spoke to the press about it, he said, Izzy's not the champ. Izzy's not the champ right now. He said, he's coming off a loss. He said, how the hell are you going to be the middleweight champion when you're coming off a loss? Now, I get it. I understand what he's saying, but he lost a light heavyweight in a light heavyweight title fight. The bloody middleweight belt wasn't on the line. But
and
I get
for
it.
All things considered, a close enough fight that you have to give Izzy a ton of respect. I almost feel like we were sort of shitting on Izzy because it was only because everyone underestimated Blachowicz so much that it was easy to sort of celebrate Blachowicz after that victory. And the reality was, it was a closer fight than I think I gave it credit for at the very least. It was a very close fight, and he was going up against a guy who is the true best competitor at a weight class above him. So to say that he's not the champion anymore, it's probably just stirring the fires. I don't know if Kevin Holland even really believes it.
Yeah, well, let's have a listen to the tape. I think Brian had it queued up there. Press the play. Sound.
Fight. What did you think of him against Jan Blachowicz?
I think that he said he didn't try and put on weight, but I think that he put on weight. You know, it's like he may have came in at 200 pounds. I think that he did a normal weight cut, like, you know, which was smart. It's a smart thing to do. Take it how you normally would take it, right? He looked a little slower than he normally does, right? Usually he's faster than that. He didn't look as fast. Am I wrong? I could be right here, right? He didn't look as fast as he normally does. He got beat in the striking aspect. He got beat in the grappling aspect. He got beat, you know, and it's like, and, you know, in a lot of other sports, when you're a champ and you lose, you're no longer the champ anymore. Granted, he went up a weight class, but shit, the dude lost. He's officially, is there any other fighters right now that has done just about every combat sport and lost in every combat sport? Is there? So I guess you could say he's a true loser.
I mean, listen, he's trying to get the title fight and God bless him. Good for him. You can't say that about Izzy. He's a true. I mean, yeah, okay. Technically, he did lose in boxing. I believe he went 5-1. Then he went to kickboxing. He won about God knows how many. He won a lot of fights. He lost a few as well. But still, that's the way it goes. Then he comes to mixed martial arts. He was undefeated. He got to 20-0 and then lost stepping up a weight class. You know, you have to have respect for what Izzy did. You know, I saw some people when we were talking about the Izzy versus Jan fight accusing me of being a hater. Not a hater at all. We were just calling it how we saw it. Jan,
they were saying you're being a hater on Izzy.
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm a fan of Izzy. I love watching him fight. I think he's great. I think he's a great personality. I think he's great for the sport as well. And Kevin Holland, he's doing his thing there. He's trying to goad him into a fight. He's trying to get him to take the bait.
Technically, but an
inaccurate statement.
It's kind of funny because like this happens a lot when you're dealing with like the superstar level talent where they get their own nut huggers, right? So McGregor has a bunch of McGregor nut huggers. Izzy's got people who swing off his nuts. The Diaz brothers, like, and that's fine. I'm not even saying like these are extraordinary talented fighters and they have this enigmatic personality and there's this it factor about them. So it gets people very like riled up. John Jones, it gets people very emotional. So it's like when you say something against them in a very honest way, it's like, yeah, dude, you're just fucking hating. Technically, Bisping, you hate on every single episode when you have to pick one guy and have to pick against another guy. There's somebody that's getting quote-unquote hated on. It just happens to be that sometimes it is the more popular guys and their fans get so much more riled up for some reason because nobody's talking about how you're a fucking Bilal Muhammad hater, you know, because you said Bilal was getting beat in that fight. You know, that there's no debate about that. But you see this, it happens a lot. I see it with Connor. I see it happen with Izzy now, John Jones. People are like, oh, you guys are just fucking hating. It's like, no, you're just calling it like it is.
Just reporting the fights. That's what we do. And if someone loses, then we have to talk about how they lost, perhaps the reason why they lost. And if the person that beat them, we have to talk about how they beat them and how they were superior on that night.
And it was surprising how Blachowicz was able to be as dominant as he was in that fight. I think that he came in as a pretty heavy underdog. And when it all played out the way it played out, I think the story of that fight was, oh shit, he was able to beat him in striking, be able to beat him in grappling, able to beat him to a decision. And that was a big deal. That was a very, very big deal. That was the story of the night. It wasn't, you know, highlighting how good Izzy was that night. That wasn't the story to pull from that fight.
Yeah. No, it wasn't, you know. But listen, Izzy's still the middleweight champ, regardless of what Kevin Holland says. But I get it. It's great marketing for Kevin Holland, and he's doing the right thing. I mean, Kevin Holland, well, let's talk about that main event now, and then we'll get into some of the other news later, seeing as it seems a natural progression. Remember, Kevin Holland went 5-0 last year, right? 5 fights, 5 wins, and he earned a lot of money as well. Dana White came over to me and said, oh, you know how much money he earned? And he told me, obviously, I'm not going to share that, but it was a very, very large sum of money.
How many horses?
A lot of horses. You could have a fucking Roman legion of horses with the amount. In fact, fuck it. Just because you're making fun. I'm buying 2 horses. One for me, one for her. Fuck it. Bisping on horses. That's how we're going to get around. He earned a lot of money. And his star is on the rise. Let's remember, he knocked out Jacare with that crazy knockout from his back. You know what I mean? Yeah. That was pretty wild, man. And now he's got a quick turnaround against Kevin Brunson. Of course, Kevin Brunson. Derek Brunson. Thank you very much. Derek Brunson. Listen, Derek Brunson, he's a good fighter. He's been around. He's got tons of experience and he's still pretty young, I think. The obvious thing for Derek Brunson, though, in this fight is that he's a good wrestler. He's a good wrestler. And in the past, Brunson gets too aggressive, right? I asked him about it. I said, you know, no disrespect. I said, but if one was to critique your performances, it's because you get a little overzealous and you rush forward and the chin's a little exposed in the air and you swing. And now, of course, Brunson, when he's landed with shots, he's very powerful and he does often, more often than not, knock people out. You know, if he connects clean, he's a powerful guy. But you can't do that, certainly not at the highest level. So he's had mixed results. Some people he's knocked out. Remember, he knocked out Machida, I think, right at the opening of round one. But he's also been taken out a few times as well. So this, I think his last fight, he knocked out Edmund Shahbazyan. So that was a good performance, a good rebound. I think he's on a 2 or 3 fight win streak. And Brunson's 37. Yeah, on a 3 fight win streak. Thanks, Harrington. So, it's a good fight, but I got a favor Kevin Holland in this one. I can't choose because I'm calling this fight. But you know, if it stays on the feet, I've got to favor Kevin Holland.
Yeah, and Kevin Holland is doing the smart thing, by the way. It's really smart that he's calling out Izzy now. He knows he's not getting the Izzy fight right now, but he came out. What is the story of Kevin Holland right now? He's the guy that wants to fight as much as possible, put anybody in front of him. He's willing to fight. He wants to fight on short notice. He was trying to break the record for last year and get 6 fights in 1 year. That is the making of a future star. That's a making of if he can become the absolute best in the world and get that title around his waist, that's a great foundation to have. And he knows that if he's talking shit with Izzy right now, all he needs is another fight or two. Six in a row right now? Once you're 7, 8, 9 fights in a row, you become undeniable, and it's almost guaranteed to have that title fight happen.
Yeah, maybe. I just messaged in the group there. There's a video of Izzy talking about the opponents. Sorry, his contenders, if you will. I think it was to Ariel Helwani. Do we have that? I think, yeah, there it is, Brian, if you could just bring that up. Because Izzy just burst out in laughing. And I never quite got it. I never quite understood it. I don't know if it was a shitty recording or whatever. But let's have a look at that and see if we can break it down. Harrington says he can explain it. Well, let's watch it first, Harrington. Oh, Harrington.
How about the Harrington breakdown afterwards?
Oh, yeah. Let's have the Harrington breakdown afterwards. But first, we'll hear about DC's number one fan, Ariel Helwani, in the house. Let's go.
Colin Brunson this weekend. Then we got Tel Vittori. How do you actually see this all playing out? Because I would imagine the guy who looks the best of this whole little mini tournament will be your next opponent, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, I feel like Holland's going to take care of Brunson. But again, Brunson's been a spoiler, like in his last fight with Chabazian. But Holland should take care of him quite easily, but he still has a long way to go. You can't just beat Brunson and think he deserves a title shot. Till, definitely, if he wins, he gets a title shot. The Italian, depends how he wins. And also there's that story there of he still thinks he won the first fight.
Oh, that's it. I never heard that bit.
What, Marvin Vittori?
Yeah. That's why he's laughing.
First fight. Oh, so stupid. Oh, bellissimo. Anyway, depends how he wins.
We got Holland Brunson this weekend.
All right, okay. So I get it. So sorry. That's the part. I never quite caught it. But go on. Harrington, you're so smart. Break it down for us. Please explain, baby.
Hammer fist.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I was going to break down. As Marvin Vittori said, on this very show, he thinks he won that split decision the first time that he fought Israel Adesanya. So he has been very, very vocal about the fact that he thinks he should be fighting him next, especially if he does get the win next month against Darren Till. He even took to Twitter immediately after this video came out, said, "Say my name, bitch." Because if you remember, Israel referred to him as the Italian. And then Bellissimo's never said his name in there. So there is actual bad blood between those two, it seems.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, right? He needs a contender. Izzy doesn't have a fight lined up. And I understand he wants to match up with Darren. It'll be a good fight. But the fight with Vittori was a split decision. It was Vittori's last loss. Since then, he's on a 4-fight win streak. He beat Cesar Ferreira, Andrew Sanchez, Cole Roberson, and Jack Hermanson. That's 4 good wins. If he adds Darren Till to that list, that's 5. And of course, that's a big if. That's a fucking hell of a fight, by the way. Vittori and Darren Till is a fucking sensational fight because Vittori's got so much better. He's a big, powerful, strong motherfucker that brings a lot of violence. And so does Darren Till. I'm telling you, that's a good fight. He says that Darren deserves a shot. You know, and I'm not trying to go against the champ. When you're the champ, you call the shots to a certain degree. You know what I mean? You don't have to accept shit. And the UFC can't really boss you around. You've got to take opponents, of course. And if you don't, they'll strip you. But you do get a say in it. That's when it really changes. And I would say if fucking Till gets a title shot, then why can't Vittori if he wins as well? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not exactly something that you're going to sell to the general public as well. I mean, Darren Till versus Israel Adesanya is main event, you know, action-packed, just a really fun fight across the board. The shit-talking leading up to it will be unmatched, incredible. Vittori honestly has, from a hardcore fan perspective, he has a real case. You know, split decision, loss, but it's still a split decision. I mean, look, you can laugh all you want at that. That's a fucking split decision. That's a big deal. That storyline is right there. I just don't see... There's nowhere near the fan sort of the
interest.
The fan interest, exactly. I mean, Whitaker, obviously, he's just former champion, massive star. You could really sell that fight easily. I think, look, if Vittori beats Darren Till in spectacular fashion, I think then you can have a real case to make. But that's got to be what's going on in Vittori's head right now, in his team's head. It's not just beating Darren Till. He's got to go out and make a statement and say, no, you put somebody in front of me, I'm going to fucking destroy him. So if he goes out and he knocks out Darren Till first round, spectacular fashion, highlight reel knockout, well, then I'd say, holy shit, he's got a real case for it. But
But that's not going to happen. Listen, they're both friends of the show. I like Marvin. You know, me and Marvin used to have a little bit of beef. Nothing crazy, but, you know, same division and whatnot. There was a little bit of that. And, of course, Darren is a good friend of mine, comes on the show, fucking great guy, nothing but biggest respect. He ain't going to go out there and knock out Darren Till in the first round. I'm not saying he can't get a finish, but I'd be very surprised if he went out there and knocked him out in the first round. That's a great fight, right? May the best man win. I truly believe the winner of that should get to fight Izzy. Izzy needs a contender. He hasn't fought either. Well, he has fought Vittori, but, you know, he's earned the rematch. Whittaker, if he wins, of course, he deserves a shot as well. You know what I mean? But you don't want to make the winner of Vittori Till fight if Whittaker wins his next one, the winner of Whittaker and Gastelum. You don't want to do that.
No.
I just say, I think the winner of Vittori versus Darren Till should get the title shot.
Yeah, I agree with it. I agree with it.
Clean and simple. Clean and simple.
I agree with you, Mike.
Yeah. And think about this also, Kevin Holland, because he dismissed Kevin Holland. And again, it's not like I'm trying to disagree with everything Izzy says. I understand what Izzy's point is. Beating Derek Brunson typically wouldn't be, and no disrespect to Brunson, but it wouldn't be that marquee big name that gets you a title shot. Whoa, we beat Derek Brunson. Derek Brunson's a tough fighter, but he's got some losses on his record. You know what I mean? You know, sporadically, he's on a 3-fight win streak, but still, there's quite a few losses on there. I don't mean any harm by that. But he just beat Jacare Souza. He's on a 5-fight win streak. If he beats Derek Brunson as well, that's a 6-fight win streak. Izzy beat Brunson, then beat Silva, then fought for a title. Yeah, that's a good point. He did beat Brunson, and then he beat Anderson Silva, and then he got a title shot. But still, if Holland wins this weekend, he's on a 6-fight win streak, Brunson and Jacare Souza.
I think that might even be 7, to be honest.
Yeah, Jacare is a fucking legend as well. Jacare, you know, is one of the best guys to compete in the UFC, never to win a title. You know, so there's definitely grounds for a title shot.
If Holland beats Brunson, he deserves a number one contender fight against the winner of Whittaker versus Gastelum, in my opinion. That's a fight to make, and then you do the winner of Vittori versus Darren Till. But look, I could see if Vittori wins, it's the X factor there. If Vittori just wins a close decision, I don't think he's going to get a title fight off it. We'll see what happens. But it's going to have to be a spectacular finish, submission, knockout, whatever it is. But
I agree, by the way. That's a really good shout. If Holland wins, he fights the winner of Whittaker and Gastelum.
Yeah.
And whoever wins, that gets
the
title
shot. Contender. Yeah.
That's a really good scenario.
Real quick, Mike, we must welcome back IP Vanish to the show. What a great company, IP Vanish. They're a virtual private network, or a VPN. You've probably heard of a VPN. And a VPN is super important, and it's a tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on computers, tablets, phones, really anything you like, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. And when you use a VPN, all of your data is encrypted. So what you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, and whatever you're doing, nobody can see it. You're not going to have people trying to hack your email. You're not going to have people trying to steal your data. Data has become super valuable these days, and this is a great way to protect your data.
Yeah, and here's what you're going to get with IP Vanish. You're going to get an anonymous IP address. That means your personal IP address cannot be tracked by anybody on the web. Circumvent any online censorship. IP Vanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70 plus locations. When I say 70 plus locations, I mean 70 plus countries around the world. Get protection when using public Wi-Fi. Remember, with IP Vanish, all of your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing. 24/7 support, email them, chat with them, even call them. They are here to help. And if you remember, these guys supported the show a few months ago, as Lewis said, they've come back with an even better deal, wanting to offer something very special for the new year. Guess what? You're going to get 65% off. 65% off. That is insane. Lewis, tell them all about it.
Very simple. All you got to do right now to claim your 65% in savings, okay, is go to ipvanish.com/believe. That's ipvanish.com/BELIEVE. ipvanish.com/believe. Claim your 65% savings, and they have plans that start at just $3.49 per month or $27.99 per year. This is the time to sign up. With our discount and their current promotional savings, you can get a VPN for 65% off. IP Vanish is the best of the best, and it's even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and that's with more than 6,000 reviews. So show these guys some love right now. They are repeat sponsors. Remember, it is ipvanish.com/believe to get the deal and start protecting yourself online today.
All right, listen, Harrington, I'm going to what's the word I'm going to do with you? I'm going to allow it. I don't know if you know this. I don't know how much you perused the notes prior, but Harrington has been for weeks now putting in John Jones hitting pads at heavyweight. You have added that to the notes, and I have every time said, no, I've seen the footage, okay? It's a little bit of a clip of Jones hitting pads. There's nothing great. I mean, there's nothing bad, but I'm like, it's not a talking point.
And also, he doesn't look that big. Am I crazy?
I don't know. He looks pretty big, but listen.
He always looks big, though. He never looks small. It's just he's not cutting weight for a fight.
He looks fucking gigantic there.
Oh, he looks big. Never mind.
Yeah. I was going to say, really, Lewis? Because he does look big.
No, the last video when he was lifting weights where they showed his back, he just didn't look that big. You notice he doesn't look that lean.
Yeah, no, he doesn't look lean. Maybe he's on the loading phase, if you will. But I was thinking to myself, because, like, you know, I do a bit of pad work here and there, and then, like, blah, 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 and I'm going fucking hell for leather, and I'm doing tons of shots. And when I saw that, I thought, no, I'm going to do it John Jones style. I'm going to do two punches, have 17 seconds, and then throw them again. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not going to get tired on the pads for the camera. Because he was taking his time there, and God bless him, he's got every chance. But put it back on again, and let's break. So what do you want to talk about with this, Harrington? You've put this in the notes now for weeks. So please, the floor is yours, Harrington. Go ahead.
I mean, we are watching possibly the greatest of all time in MMA transitioning from a 205er to a legitimate heavyweight. I think that journey being documented by somebody who understands the sport better than anyone on the planet, arguably, is an interesting topic for the fans. That's just me.
I know, I'm busting your balls. No, listen, what John Jones is doing, and it's kind of what Israel Adesanya was doing, but he's chasing greatness, right? If he can go up to heavyweight, and he does look a little slower, doesn't he? But that goes without saying. He's heavier. You will be heavier. Just like what Holland said a moment ago, saying he thought Izzy looked a little slower at light heavyweight, and maybe he did, you know, but because he's carrying around more mass, he's heavier. Also, by the way, Jones did look a little slower there. We don't know. Maybe it's the end of a hard training session. That's the thing with mine as well. When I put a little bit of pad work on there, it's at the end. You go, here, someone, just fucking get me in the pads for 30 seconds. I'm already fucked. I've done 2 hours of killing myself. You know what I mean? That's just like the worn out, tired version, Lewis. You know what I'm saying?
That's my favorite thing, is watching people in the comments for you. They shit on me all the time when I put up training stuff, you know, and look, I'm not good. I know that I'm not good. I know this already. It doesn't have to be pointed out over and over and over again in the comments. We got it. What are you doing, you fucking fat, lazy shit? You're sitting there on your ass just commenting on my shit. But it makes me, it's almost laughable with you, because I watch them being like, ah, Bisping, you know, I don't know who's training you, but you got to keep those hands up. What are you talking about? He's hitting a heavy bag. He's not in the middle of a fight. He's obviously at the end of a long fucking workout. And how do you have the balls to comment on the form of a former UFC middleweight champion?
And by the way, I start now every workout with a 4-mile extreme hill run by my house. So I've done that first before the weights or the bags. So go fuck yourselves. No, listen, Jones, I mean, come on. Think about this. Let's just talk about this for a second. If he goes up to heavyweight, right, next week we got Ngannou taking on Stipe Miocic. That's an insane fight. That's one of the best fights the UFC can put on, in my opinion. Ngannou coming back, right, from the first defeat. All right, then he got beat off Lewis. But since then, I mean, I don't know, look it up, Harrington, but he's knocked everyone out in about 30 seconds. I don't think he's gone past a minute or 2 minutes in all of the fights since. He's knocked out Velasquez, Dos Santos, Rosenstruik. I don't know who else. Maybe it's just them three.
All in the first round, the longest one was Junior Dos Santos at a minute 11 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane, right? And Ngannou coming up against Stipe Miocic, who is, on paper and in my opinion, the greatest heavyweight ever, defended it again more times than ever. He's beaten a who's who, but the fact he's defended the heavyweight belt more than ever, that solidifies him. He's the greatest, most successful heavyweight of all time. But Ngannou's coming into this one as the favorite, which I kind of understand, right? Because he's got a bit more experience. And who knows? That's not what I'm talking about. Whoever wins that fight, though, John Jones, excuse me, he's on deck to fight next. And could you imagine the storyline? If John Jones can go out there after being essentially undefeated for so long, taking out multiple generations of mixed martial artists, and then go up to heavyweight and take out the greatest heavyweight that the UFC's ever seen, I mean, you can close the fucking book on all of this chat about the greatest of all time, because that's it. It's over. It's done.
What do you think is the bigger fight? John Jones versus Stipe, John Jones versus Ngannou? And I present this to you because we got to consider two things, right? So if Ngannou wins, it's because he knocks out Stipe. He fucking has a highlight reel. More than likely, I don't think he's going to beat Stipe in a decision. I think if he wins, he catches him early, first, second round, clips him, puts him down. Simple as that. But now we have Ngannou, who on a poster, on paper, on the ESPN promos, and you have just one of the most marketable, scary, baddest motherfuckers in the world against John Jones, who is, in a lot of people's eyes, the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the entire world. Or, may I present to you Stipe Miocic, who is, on paper, the best heavyweight fighter to ever do it. He holds the accolades as the best, the most title defenses, and if he's able to beat Ngannou, he really does sort of put the nail in that coffin there in that discussion if he's able to beat him again. So what do you think, though, going into that fight against John Jones? Because John Jones obviously is the X factor. What do you think is the bigger fight? We'll say simply pay-per-view numbers, fanfare, all that included.
I don't know. Do you know what I would say in terms of pay-per-view success? Probably Ngannou. And I say that I'm a big fan of Stipe Miocic, not only as a fighter, but as a person. You know, and the man's a firefighter in the spare time. He's a blue-collar guy. He's not attending red carpet events. He's, you know what I mean? He's still living. He's probably mowing his own lawn and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? He's still essentially the same guy, you know, but just
handsome.
Ass in a big way, big strapping handsome guy, not my type, but whatever floats your boat, Lewis. You know, and yeah, technically Harrington, Brian says here, yeah, technically an MMA fighter in his spare time that became the best in the world, but he's a big star, don't get me wrong, but he's not that big massive breakout star. If Ngannou was to beat Stipe Miocic, right, think about it, because he's got the style that captures everyone's imagination, right? He scares people to death. Predator by name, predator by nature. He's fucking looks like he's carved out of stone. The man is absolutely terrifying. I say it all the time. You know what I mean? The last person I want to fight on the UFC roster is Francis Ngannou, which is out of order to Miocic because he already beat him. But I'm telling you, you fucking don't lock me in a fucking room with Francis Ngannou if he's on his period. No way.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. I think that it has that, he does have that it factor that I don't want to say Miocic is missing, because it's not, but it's like when you see the morning shows, right? You'll see like a Good Day America sort of style show. It's always an interesting, they bring Stipe or Ngannou in, and he's this big, scary, lumbering dude. You know, Miocic is almost too much of an everyman for his own good for that division. The heavyweight division, it's supposed to be larger than life, and Stipe comes off like he's just a normal guy, you know? And I think that, I'm not saying that it holds him back. I'm just saying it doesn't make him seem larger than life, which I think some people, you know, Ngannou does seem larger than life.
Yeah, because he is larger than life. The man's absolutely gigantic. I remember once me and Callum sat down at a UFC event and I had a front row seat, and they didn't have one for Callum. Callum was only a kid at the time. This is a good few years ago. They said, Michael Bisping and Francis Ngannou. I said, well, he's not here yet, is he? Sit down. And then all of a sudden, we got a tap on the shoulder and we went, and there he was, Ngannou, and Callum was absolutely terrified. So to answer your question, what's the bigger fight? If Ngannou can beat him, then probably Ngannou. Because then it becomes the storyline of John Jones going up and trying to slay the giant. It's almost like, what is it from the Bible? David and Goliath, but not quite. You know what I mean? Jack and the Beanstalk. I don't know why that popped in my head, because there's a giant in there. That's probably why. But that would be the storyline. Can he go up there and take on this guy that's almost unbeatable? Now, just want to quickly say before we move on, We're forgetting all the greatness of Stipe. You know, he knocked out Fabrizio Verdum moving backwards. He knocked out that way, stopped Daniel Cormier with body shots. Some of the fights that Stipe's been in are incredible. Those last two fights with DC were unreal. He got clipped with a good one off DC in the first one, but those two other fights in the rubber match, they were really, really entertaining fights. And Stipe's the real deal. So, yeah. Can't wait for that one. And that's only around the corner. That's next week.
It's crazy. It really is crazy. It's coming right up. And the other side of it as well is that John Jones, I think Ngannou versus Jones is a better fight to sell, because Ngannou also has the style to, you know, look, even the John Jones haters, they want to see Ngannou fight John Jones. Because, like, if Ngannou can catch him, can John Jones handle that sort of power? Can he get hit by somebody like Francis Ngannou and keep it going? No, I don't think anybody in the world can if he gets hit clean. So I think that – I just think when you look at the styles, I think that John Jones also has a much better chance on beating Stipe Miocic, you know, and sort of, you know – Yeah, look, Stipe's got crazy knockout power too. So to sit there and to sort of, it's almost disrespectful to his knockout power because we talk about him like he can't knock people out.
I know that's what I'm saying, because it's because the knockouts of Ngannou's are so electrifying and they happen so quick, right? Like Stipe's, there might be like a bit of a fight, it's going well, boom, but then he gets him with a good shot. With Ngannou, he essentially just goes out there in a fucking blaze of aggression. And destroy. I mean, look what he did to Rosenstrike. So anyway, so that's why he gets more attention. Harrington, just going off the MMA notes for a second. Right at the top of these notes, I'm just pitch this idea to me. So, Lewis, you've seen this. It's in the notes. Twitter is blowing up over this video of a woman running on a treadmill at 19 miles an hour, especially the last woman in the video who's drawing comparisons to the Terminator and Michael Myers. First of all, I want to see the video. Secondly, please tell me why this is the top story in the notes for the Believe You Me podcast.
Well, I mean, I just put it in as a non-MMA story, something if you guys were didn't have the horse conversation to give you that kind of gold. Daphne here is fucking scary to look at. Also, I was going to say...
I want to see Daphne race Bisping's new horse.
Let's have a look at Daphne. Why is Daphne scary? I mean, look at her. She's got glasses on. She looks like a nice girl. She looks like she plays a bit of netball or something in her time. You know, do you play netball out here? I never hear about netball.
What's netball? You mean basketball?
No, it's like volleyball? Female basketball, but it's not. It's netball. Just Google netball.
Let's look netball. Up netball. Look up netball right now and pull it up on the screen.
Look up netball on the screen. It's netball. You can't dribble. You can't run with it. You just got to throw it, I think. There was the Castle Grounds in Clitheroe. They had netball. They had netball tournaments every Tuesday. You know, all the girls, obviously. So we go watch the netball.
Go watch the girls play some netball.
No, we just happen to be here on the netball. All but right. Yeah, no, bring it up on screen.
We used to watch the girls in high school play tennis. We used to watch the JV tennis practice.
Just throwing this out there, Brian. Sorry, Harrington. It's no good for the viewer putting the fucking link in the chat. Put it on the screen, my friend.
No, he was sending it to Brian.
Oh,
I'll get Harrington's back. I have to once in a while. I love to take a nice shit on Harrington, but.
All right. Well, yeah, there it is. That looks like basketball. Might have been.
So is it basketball with a volleyball and no backboard?
Well, it's a net and a ball, hence netball, but you can't dribble, I believe.
And it's also, it's like, you can go on either side of that, right? Like, it's in a big, like, there's a circle around it. You can go either way, kind of.
No, there's one at one end, one at the other side, I think. Yeah, and it's the same as a basketball court. But anyway, she looks like she plays a nice bit of netball. Old Daphne there, I don't know why you're singling her out as scary.
Well, I forgot why we brought up netball, and I realized just now that it was because Bisping randomly referenced it.
Yeah. What's wrong with netball? You know
Nothing.
What I mean?
It's great.
Especially up the castle on a Tuesday night in the summer in Clitheroe when you're 13 years old and that side of the development's just kicking in. You're like, ooh, I never looked at these girls in my class in this way before, but now all of a sudden, I think I'll go watch the netball.
All of a sudden, I love netball. I hated netball yesterday.
Love netball. Love a good netball. Harrington, why is that in the notes? I get it. You wanted to. Is that the best you can come up with though for non-MMA stories?
It was what was trending while I was doing the notes last night. But I was thinking, as two men who spend probably more time in a gym than anybody, I was seeing, you know, that's someone running 90 miles an hour on a treadmill. Clearly not the way that machine was meant to be operated. I was going to ask you both, what's the most, you know, insane use of gym equipment you've seen?
We're busting your balls, of course, Harrington, because that's what we do. But treadmills. I was thinking about this, Lewis, because obviously, you know, you're training a lot. I used to do a lot of treadmill sprints, and I'm assuming she's just doing sprints. You can't run for that amount of time. But I remember there's two things I used to use the treadmills for. I used to, before a fight, I'd have it on 11 miles an hour at a 1 degree incline, and do 3 5-minute rounds. And if I could do that, then I knew I was in shape for a fight because that's pretty hard. But then another one that you should do, that you should build up to, is that before treadmill sprints. Essentially, you put the incline on 10, the speed on 10, you run 30 seconds, then you just put your feet on the sides, you rest 30 seconds, or every 30, you jump on again. Do that 10 times. Woo, it's hard. And then 30, but then in the George St. Pierre fight, I was doing 45 on, 15 off, which is too much. You know what I mean? But give that, or start low, slowly. Start at like eight and eight, you know, and work your way up to there. It only takes 10 minutes, but it'll fucking blow your ass out.
Yeah, running is the best shape I've ever been in my entire life. It's when I've been running, and now I haven't been going to the gym. I've been just working out in, obviously, MMA gyms in my garage. Mm. It's been too cold to run outside, but I really want to get back to it so bad. I know, it's so funny, like, everyone knows this. Everyone listening to this show right now, you know exactly what it would take to get into the best shape of your life, exactly what it would take to have whatever sort of creative happiness you want, financial success. We all know the steps that are, they're right there, right in front of us. And I can
call out the sugar.
If I could tell, yeah, okay, Bisping, keep on talking that shit. And then you fucking, not only does he not cut out the sugar, but he brags about it like he is. He posted a picture the other day with eggs and sausage, but then a huge, giant fucking pile of ketchup, which is all sugar. It's just a pile of sugar.
It was a plate of extremely zero carbs and a tiny, tiny, tiny little splodge of ketchup on the side.
A little dollop.
A little dollop of ketchup. You know what I mean? But I'm still, you know, just get over it, Lewis.
Have you been sticking to it?
I have. I swear to God, I have. Apart from one day, Tuesday, I'll tell you off air, I had some insanely good news, some very, very good news. And you know who you are, you little bitch. Stick it up your ass. I got some good news on Tuesday. So we went out for lunch and I said, I've been waiting for this moment for 10 years. And it happened on Tuesday.
I already know the news. Good for you.
Yeah. So Tuesday, I went out and we had a little celebratory lunch and I had three Modelos, and I had tacos. So, you know, but that didn't exactly go crazy.
I told you I'm going on vacation next month, and the more I think about it, I really want to be able to drink some Red Stripe on the beach.
Right about, no, you got to get that Red Stripe down your mind.
I love a Red Stripe. You get up in the morning, you just look out at that sun, fucking gorgeous, amazing horizon. Just crack open an ice cold Red Stripe. There's just nothing better in the world.
Oh, it is good. It is. I have a balcony attached to my bedroom, and it's nice in summer. We only just started doing it last summer. I don't know why. We've lived there for almost 10 years. Last summer, we like kind of got it all nice. We got some pot plants out there. You know, made it a bit more homely. And we've been sitting on the balcony, you know, just having a couple of beers in the afternoon sun as the sun's setting, some music on. Oh, it's the best. But you know what? It's funny you bring up Jamaica. Because it's spring break. That's right around the corner. So we're going to go. And I got nowhere, you know, than the podcast. I don't have any UFC commitments or anything that week. So I'm like, let's go away. Let's go away for a week because there's no point busting our asses and me working like.
Let's try to go away the same week.
I was looking where to go. I was thinking about going to the Caribbean. And then it was just bringing up Jamaica. And I'm like, really? That can't be the best island in the Caribbean.
It's the best island in the Caribbean.
I don't believe you.
It has the most culture. The Bahamas, Curacao, fucking Bermuda. What is the difference between any of those places? Jamaica's got reggae music, Bob Marley, got the ganja from the Earthman.
Yeah, man. Yeah, right about now. But, you know, the thing is, man, you know, to get down there, it's quite the trek, you know? I got to go down via the Miami or maybe via the Dallas. No, but yeah, it's two flights. So what we're going to do is, I think, we're doing a U-turn.
Hawaii?
We're going to Cabo. 90 minutes or just under 2 hour flight from Ooh. Orange County. Boom. Pop down. Never been to Mexico. It's right over the border. Pop
what
down
date
there.
Are you going?
I don't know yet. Whenever it is, 25th of April, something like that. Oh shit. That's my son's birthday. Oh my God. I was calling Callum yesterday saying, oh, you want spring break over the 25th? And he's like, yeah, no, I'm still at school and blah, blah. I'm like, all right, well, we're going to go to Mexico without you. I said, are you cool with that? And I just realized that's his birthday. Sorry, Callum, you don't watch the show. Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, Mike, we should take a quick moment and thank one of our great sponsors, which is Blue Chew, longtime sponsor of the show. BlueChew.com is the place to go if you guys want to have, I would say, a little bit of help in the bedroom. The best way, if you need your hand held a little bit when you're trying to get down and get down to Funky Town, you need a little bit of assistance, Blue Chew has got your back.
if, and I'm assuming because you're a believer, this will not apply to you, but if you're one of those guys and, you know, it doesn't matter how attracted you are to your partner, to your male partner, your female partner, but you just can't get the engine started. You just can't get it going. Mm. You know, you perform like a Harrington, you know, it's okay.
You want to perform like a Brian, but you're performing like a Harrington.
You want to grow your hair, but you can't. You want to grow your penis, but you can't. You got no chance. Here's what you do. And you might be thinking, I can't do that because I've just had a meal. Well, what you do is you take a blue chew. Doesn't matter. Full stomach, empty stomach. They have got you covered. And what will happen? My God, it's going to explode. It's going to go crazy. You're going to rock the world of your significant other. What we're talking about is a performance enhancement experience for the bedroom blue chew. You don't have to go to the doctors. No awkward conversations. No waiting in line at the pharmacy. You go to bluechew.com. You speak to one of their affiliated physicians. And before you know it, shows up on your doorstep. Discreet packaging. Oh, my God. Let's go to Funky Town, like Lewis says.
It's nice and easy. You have a harder, stronger erection. Just to keep it scientific, that is just the way it works. And look, you might have erectile dysfunction. Maybe you have truly trouble getting it up. Maybe you just want to have better, more exciting experiences with your significant other. Either way, they have a prescription that works for you. It's all done online. It's all delivered to your door. Couldn't make it any easier. We can, because we're going to have you try it out for free. All you got to do is go to bluechew.com, bluechew.com, and when you check out, use the promo code BELIEVE. When you do that, you're going to get a free trial of Blue Chew delivered right to your door. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. Once again, that's bluechew.com. Use that promo code BELIEVE. Try it out for free. Believe for yourself what Blue Chew can do for you. Chew it and do it. All right, where were we?
Harrington, do you want to come on and hammer fisters for the rest of this, for the rest of the show, please?
Got a couple good ones.
Ooh, all right. Very excited. I'll do real quick. Let me do plugs. You love the show? Go to our iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating right now. Positive review. You can do that on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere you get the podcast. Go grab it, download it, subscribe, tell some friends about it. If you have, also, if you guys want the latest video episodes are always available on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and hit the notification button. You get a notification every time a new episode drops, which is typically on Monday nights and Thursday nights, right around midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you guys want access to the entire on-demand library, every episode of the show that we've ever done, all ad-free, uncensored, and in one place, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 14-day free trial. Got a couple live dates coming up as well. 26th, I'll be in Fairfield, Connecticut. And then I'm down in Florida this 15th through the 18th. Go to lewisofskanks.com for touring dates and more.
Harrington, I'm hoping that number 6 in the notes, Zhang Wei Li, because I haven't seen this video. So, but please, without further ado, go ahead. Mean,
there is some pretty big stories, Mike, but sure, we'll go with that one first.
Whoa.
Very condescending.
You see that? You see that, Lewis?
No, stop.
He put it in the notes. You put it in the notes. I say, I am intrigued by what you have put in the notes. I would like to see it. And he's like, oh, there's some big stories, Mike, but sure, let's go with that. As if I invented that. Did you send that email to me, Harrington?
I did.
Did you go out of your way and spend time typing that email to me?
Well, yeah, I mean, I copy and paste.
Did you go online and copy and paste the link to the Instagram video because you felt that it was worthy discussing on the show? Is that a yes?
That yes, Mike.
Yeah, all right. Well, hammer fist is with it, motherfucker.
All right. Well, so this is another interesting workout routine that I've never seen before. I'm wondering if you can tell me, A, what she might be working on, and B, are we dealing with another Tony Ferguson in Zhang Wei Li here? Brian, if you can pull that up. So here she is. It seems like she has a small slack line that's going from one end of a training octagon to the other, and I can't tell what this drill is, Mike.
Yeah, no, I would hazard a guess at a footwork drill, right? But it maybe it's just a coordination drill because she's doing the same thing over and over again, which would take a lot of coordination. And also what she's doing there by moving those legs could be possibly a drill for lifting up the leg for the calf kicks, perhaps. I don't know, but interesting.
Yeah, I mean, look, she's moving fast. Her heart rate's up. She's having a good time. It's a footwork drill, right? So it's not like she's going to use that movement in the fight, but it's like a mind-body connection thing, right?
She's
use those ladders. It's sort of the same thing. Like, people go in and out of the ladders. There's different patterns you could do.
It's Stipe Miocic when he beat DC. It's the river dance. It is. It's the Riverdance. Come on, Patrick's Day was, oh, as if we didn't talk about that. St. Patrick's Day yesterday, which I don't celebrate in the slightest, and I'm still not quite sure what you Americans' obsession with it is, but still, whatever.
It's just an excuse to get drunk. People like
hammered.
Halloween, St. Paddy's Day. You know,
I know, I'm miserable. I am miserable. English don't celebrate it, though. We don't.
Well, you guys are just drunk bastards every day of the year.
That's the Irish. Harrington, so, okay, when I suggested that, you said, oh, well, there's some pretty big stories. Well, now's your chance to get to those pretty big stories.
Okay, well, I would be remiss if we didn't get to this because two British heavyweight boxers are going to be unifying the heavyweight titles. Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury have signed a contract for a two-fight series so far. Eddie Hearn told Mark Kriegel, and then I saw Ariel Helwani reporting on it. So there's no venue set. There's no date set. But I know that Fury had said he was shutting down his camp because there was, you know, no announcement. Apparently, this fight is now signed. It's going to happen twice. I just want to get you guys' take on that.
Yeah, so I heard that they'd agreed in person, you know, in essence, they'd agreed to the fight, but there was no contract signed. So are you sure? So contracts have now been signed?
That's what Eddie Hearn is telling Mark Kriegel, who is a reporter for ESPN. He broke the story. But yeah, Eddie Hearn is the promoter and he's saying contracts have been signed.
Well, fair enough. I doubt he's lying. You know, he's not going to, because it's pretty easy to dispute that for one or two of the boxers. So, okay, so that's signed. Two fight deal. That's amazing. So that means that whoever wins or loses, you know, the loser gets a shot of redemption, if you will. So, I mean, that's fucking huge. I mean, number one, I put this on Twitter a few days ago. Is this the biggest British boxing fight of all time? I can't think of one that's bigger. Of course, we had Nigel Benn taking on Chris Eubank. They had a series of fights in early 90s, I think it was, or the mid 90s. They were big, but this is way bigger. This is the two biggest, best, without doubt, two heavyweight boxers on the planet that are going to meet twice, and they are going to make a shitload of money.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, look, I'm not a big boxing fan, but, you know, yay.
whoa. Yay? It's great. This is big. This is sure. Big. Harrington, as I was talking, you put your finger up. What were you going to say?
I just want to know if you considered, because it was a one-sided fight where only one guy was British, but Lennox Lewis versus Evander Holyfield or the Lewis versus Tyson fight?
Yeah, no. Of course, Lennox Lewis is British. You know, he was born in London, lived there for a while, moved out to Canada when he was about 16, I want to say. Maybe I'm wrong there. But what I'm talking about, though, is this is two English guys. This is an old battle of Britain. I mean, the two best boxers on the planet at heavyweight meeting, finally. They should have done it a long, long time ago. But it just made the fight even bigger. You know, it's a great fight, though. Too early for predictions and all that type of stuff. We'll do that nearer the time.
Sorry, we don't really see that happen in MMA ever. I mean, especially because it's just the nature of the UFC deals, and that's typically the only deals that we hear about. But, you know, rarely do we see, you know, a clause where there's a rematch in MMA. I don't know if we've ever seen that in MMA.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. But in boxing, it happens regularly.
Yeah,
it's often a thing in boxing. And I like it. You know what I mean? I do. Well, it's good for the champ, because basically if they get beat, they get a shot immediately to get it back. All right, Harrington, what else you got?
All right. Another booking that has been rumored but not 100% confirmed. Tony Ferguson taking on Tony Ferguson taking on Beneil Dariush. Let's get that one out of the way first, and then I have another one.
Yeah, no, I know you do. I know what it's going to be as well. It could rhyme with Flustin Meiji. Tony Ferguson, it's kind of like Tyron Woodley as well. You know, Tyron Woodley needs to win next week. He's fighting Vicente Luque. That's gone under the radar. We'll talk about that in depth next week because that's when it's happening. But Tony Ferguson, he's lost two in a row, obviously got beat off Gaethje. Then he had a pretty, you know, in one-sided fight, loss against Charles Oliveira. Tough fight. Vicente Luque is... Oh, no, that's Woodley's fight. Beneil Dariush. Jiu-Jitsu black belt, right? Very, very good fighter. Big balls on him as well. Hits hard. Look at the fight he had with Jakar Close. Knocked out Jakar Close in the second round after taking a lot of damage. Everyone likes Tony Ferguson. He brings it every time. He's a fun character in the mixed martial arts world. Who's on a six-fight win streak?
Six-fight win streak with a handful of stoppages in there as well. You know, obviously, you know, Tony's in a weird position, you know, because you don't want to be, you don't want to be the gatekeeper of the division, but that's the reality. Right now, Beneil Dariush is looking at Tony Ferguson like, holy shit, this is my opportunity to break into that top 10 or top five conversation. But you got to give credit to Tony, because Tony, you know, honestly, what is the difference in ranking? I'm sure Harrington could shed some light on this, but Tony is obviously given the opportunity to Beneil Dariush, even though Tony's coming off a couple losses.
Yes.
Yeah, what is the ranking?
Sorry, Beneil is now number 9 after his last fight. Tony Ferguson is number 5.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a good jump up for Beneil. And for Ferguson, it's all about getting back in the win column, you know, and it'd be a good name to do it against. Let's talk about Tony Ferguson real quick. And I like Tony. Yes, Harrington?
Well, sorry, I just had a quote from Khabib. I wanted to see if you guys wanted to cover that, because I know he came out with this maybe like 2 weeks ago, and I don't think we ever talked about it on the
and
show.
Is this relevant to Ferguson?
It's 100% relevant to Ferguson.
Oh, sure. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, so Khabib, he was doing a podcast with a fellow Dagestani, and he essentially, the topic of Tony Ferguson came up. He said, "I swear I never considered him an elite lightweight. He was very good, but I never counted on him because it's impossible to be elite at 37 years old. It's never been before, and even I cannot do this. At 37 in the lightweight division, no way. Heavyweights can, in my opinion, you can't change it." Secondly, since 2016, he's fought Kevin Lee, Edson Barboza, Anthony Pettis, and Donald Cerrone. Those fighters have 20 losses in those 4 years. It means that since 2016, he didn't fight any good fighters, but he faced young and top fighters like Oliveira and Gaethje. They outclassed him. Both fighters just dominated Tony.
I mean, to be honest, you can't really disagree with what Khabib's saying there. There's a little bit of opinion in there for the most part, though. He's stating facts, and the facts, you know, they speak very loudly. They do. The problem for Tony Ferguson is that throughout his entire career, of course, he's got skills. He's a martial artist, right? And he's got that natural fighting ability that everybody wants if you're a fighter. But he takes so much damage. He takes a lot every time, even though throughout that win streak that he had, a lot of those fights, he would take so much damage. The first round against Kevin Lee, he almost got finished, but he's so fucking tough, he turns it around. When he fought Lando Venata, Lando nearly took him out. Same thing. And a lot of his fights, he does that. Not all of them, but a lot of them, he goes out there. The other people use him as a punch bag. They get a little tired. Then Tony's so tough and skillful. And then he uses his skill and his toughness to turn it around and get the stoppage. The reason I'm bringing that up is that you can only do that for so long. You can only go out there taking fucking damage like that until it starts to have an impact on your career. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think we're seeing a slowdown. I think we're seeing the accumulation of damage over the years having an impact on his career. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right. But that's an opinion that I'm seeing, watching as a fan, not because I'm a Tony Ferguson hater or anything like that. Far from it. I love what Tony brings to the octagon, but he's taken a lot of damage. And now there's a good chance he's going to be on a 3-fight losing streak.
Yeah, I can't get it out of my head when you had mentioned a Dagestani podcast. And I could only think of, what is it, The Fighter and the Kid? The Kid as in a baby goat? Come on, people.
No, this is number one bullshit, okay? In Dagestan, we have number one podcast in the world. We talk about how to milk goats on a regular basis. Many people milk goats the wrong way. Here in Dagestan, number one goat milking people in the world. You don't know this, Lewis. Yeah, people who milk goats.
I'm speaking directly into rock. I'm using a rock as a microphone.
These stupid people in America with their microphones. Stupid. Wasting money at Best Buy. You just get rock, you talk into it, you make a little hole, it echoes around the village. The village hear you everywhere.
Sorry. All right. I didn't know when to get that in, but I just... It really made me laugh at the
Dagestani podcast. Brother, please.
Let's take a moment and thank our sponsor, Manscaped.com.
Goose fat.
When you want to shave your wife's whole body, please use Manscaped.com Lawnmower 3.0.
Oh, no, we use actual lawnmower. Actual lawnmower in Dagestan. Rusty lawnmower. It's very hard. My chest hair is very, very tough, very brittle. We get lawnmower, it takes it, it remove it. What else you got, Harrington? Wasn't that funny?
Pretty damn funny.
It's pretty funny, dude.
All right. I was looking for the actual video, but gosh darn it. All right. Number two versus number four looks like Michael Chandler versus Justin Gaethje. It's being rumored. There's no date yet, no venue, no time set for it. But that is the fight the UFC is looking to put together. A, do you guys think this is the right fight to make for both men? B, do you think this is a title eliminator?
Yeah, it's the right fight. That's the fight. You know, Michael Chandler came in, had one of the most impressive debuts in UFC history. I mean, he really passed that test with flying colors. And Justin Gaethje, look, he just lost the title shot, right? That was his last fight, I believe.
Yep.
This is the guy to beat. Is it a title eliminator? No, because I don't think Justin Gaethje gets a title shot with a win over Michael Chandler. But without a doubt, Michael Chandler gets a title shot with a win over Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, I would have thought so. I mean, it'd be hard to deny it, right? Because, you know, it's just Gaethje. Great fight. Tremendous fight. It really is a battle of wrestlers with heavy hands. That's essentially what we got there. I think in the wrestling department, I'd give the advantage to Chandler. Certainly, we don't really see Gaethje use his wrestling offensively. We always talk about it. Is this going to be the fight where we see Gaethje go out there and shoot double legs and things like that? But we never see it because he's turned into such a good boxer. Of course, against Khabib. Didn't matter for shit because he got taken down and choked out by a triangle. But Michael Chandler's going to go out there, probably try and take him down. Chandler's got tremendous ground and pound. If he can get on top, Gaethje's got a problem because Gaethje, you know, he's a good grappler, but he's not really a jiu-jitsu guy off his back. But on the feet, if he stays on the feet, I've got Gaethje with an advantage there. But still, tremendous fight. Very, very good fight.
And when you look at sort of the style, like Chandler has that explosive knockout power that was on display in his debut, you know, that's, I think, a big factor there. Because I think Gaethje's going to have to watch out for those big explosions, watch out for those big shots, and is going to probably leave himself up to be taken down a little bit. I'm a huge fan of Justin Gaethje. I think this is a tough fight for Justin Gaethje, though.
Oh, no, it is. It is. But, you know... I'm going to say this without sounding disrespectful to Dan Hooker. It was a good win. It was a tremendous win. It was the first real punch that he threw and he knocked him out. You know, great. Let's see if he can repeat that, though. You know, because sometimes that happens. I went, how many fights did I have in the UFC? 29, I think, something like that. You know, and at one point I was called Pillow Fists. Right, that's what people used to call me online, the fucking pricks. That was like my little nickname, Pillow Fist. Bisping Pillow Fist is what they used to call me. There was like Photoshop things of me like this with pillows on the end of my fucking fist. Well, I knocked out Rockhold in the first round. You see what I'm saying? We all have the ability to knock somebody out like that. We're all trained martial artists. We're all fighters. We're all powerful. We're all strong. And we've got 4 ounce gloves on. But when you see somebody doing it habitually, you know, when there's a pattern that they knock people out, that's when you can truly call them a knockout artist. I'm not sure what his record was in Bellator, if he had a habit of knocking people out like that in Bellator. Harrington, just look that up while Brian, please. But yeah, if he was doing that a lot in Bellator, fair enough. But I'm not sure if he was. I don't know. What is it saying, Harrington?
So over the course of his MMA career, of his 22 wins, 10 have come by knockout. And I'm looking to see how many of those actually took place in Bellator versus the regional scene. So it looks like he had two early on the regional Strikeforce. So, you know, he's been fighting at the highest levels of MMA outside of the UFC since he began. And most of those have come in Bellator.
Yeah. But I think, obviously, if you look at what he did against Gaethje, it's a little misleading because, I don't mean misleading, it was the perfect punch. It was the perfect win. He went out there and won in absolute style. History has told us that he doesn't always do that, though. And I'm not hating on the guy. It's just the facts on his record. You know
what
I mean?
I don't even necessarily think that he's going to knock out Justin Gaethje. I'm just saying with what we saw with that explosiveness, you know, I think Gaethje is going to have to be looking out for that and might end up losing those grappling exchanges because of it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. All right, Harrington, got any?
I had one more follow-up with that, just because Chandler was talking about this before he even made his debut against Hooker. He said, I want to showcase my wrestling, and I want to eventually lead to a point where I can fight Khabib, test the Dagestani Sambo versus American wrestling. Do you think Justin Gaethje, Dan Hooker and Justin Gaethje, is that enough of a resume to entice Khabib back?
Well, yeah, because you missed a bit out on that quote, actually. Because every time you say these, I know where you, I don't know where you're going, but when you start, I already know. No, and he said, listen, he's 29-0. He said, Khabib's 29-0. You know he wants to hit 30. I'm the guy to do it. I'm the guy to entice him. And I like Michael Chandler. Seems like a great guy. Seems like a really solid human being. Obviously, he adopted a young black baby, and he's just seems like a good guy. There's no controversy, and he's a fucking awesome fighter. Look at what he did to Hooker. all that together, I still don't think that's enough to entice Khabib out of retirement. I don't think Michael Chandler's the guy to do it. I think it's pretty much accepted now. He's retired. He's moving on. He's meeting with fucking Lorenzo Fertitta, for crying out loud.
If there was anyone who was going to do it, it was going to probably be GSP. If that fight was on the horizon, maybe that could have happened. You know, maybe there was an opportunity for him to fight at 170 and fight Usman. Maybe if Usman was just a little bit further, along into his journey as being the best, because I think Usman now, a lot of people are considering him to be one of the best pound for pound, but he's sort of at the very beginning of that. I think it's a timing thing, because that was the one glaring thing we've talked about, and we'll talk about it again and again, I'm sure, but that was the one glaring thing for Khabib that I think that he lacked, that some of the other guys had, which was moving up, becoming champ, you know, clearing out a division and then going and testing themselves up at a higher weight class. I think that would have been, for his 30th fight especially, a nice bit of icing on the cake to end his career, moving up, winning two titles, then retiring. Wow. I mean, it would have sucked for the UFC, but yeah, for Khabib's story, it would have been incredible.
It would have been incredible. It would, but still, I don't think Khabib fights again. Let's not get into that though, but Harrington, go on. What you got?
Well, one more thing, just speaking of Usman, apparently he's going to be getting in some work before he defends his title next month in April. He's going to be busy at the end of the month cornering Francis Ngannou. Ngannou says it's good to have him there, help me out with fighting. He's going to be in my corner, basically helping me with the wrestling, which is great. So yeah, it's good. Do you guys agree? And is Usman the missing piece what Ngannou is going to need to get it done against Stipe?
No. I got asked about this for another show that I did earlier this morning. They were asking me about that. Listen, it's great. It's really cool. They're both, they both hail from Africa, and it's nice to see that they're brothers in arms and they're supporting one another in this journey. That's beautiful. It really is. And obviously, Stipe is a good wrestler and he's going to have an advantage there. So Kamaru, you know, can definitely help him out in that regard. Kamaru is a very good wrestler. He's also a very good wrestling coach. He can definitely give him pointers and all the rest of it. But realistically, when it's all said and done, the fight's going to be the way that it takes place. I don't know if Usman's in there. Maybe he pops in and like a couple of sessions here and there, but wrestling's very, very hard to learn, you know. Yeah, it's great. It's nice. It'll be a nice morale booster and all the rest of it. It'll be great for the people of Africa. It'll be great for Francis Ngannou. But I don't think, if he was in his camp the entire time, then yes. But just being in the corner is, you know, they're two very different things.
Yeah, I mean, look, Bisping knows. What am I going to do? No, Bisping, I disagree. Usman's going to be the secret sauce. Yeah, I didn't know that. Now I'm picking Ngannou. Fuck it. Sorry, Stipe.
Usman's there. Usman's in the corner. If he was helping him throughout the training camp, if he was on board as his wrestling coach throughout the camp, then yeah, then I'd be like, okay, all right, well, this is interesting, because Usman's a tremendous wrestler, obviously, and he has a lot that he can offer to Francis Ngannou. But it sounds like he's just going to be in the corner, you know? And that's a real good morale booster. It's a nice show of camaraderie and all the rest of it. But I don't think that will be necessarily a big deal as for why he would win or lose in that fight.
Yeah, so he did say Usman has popped by for a couple of sessions. He said that he's using, you know, he's showing Usman a couple of things, Usman showing him a couple of things. It's just a couple of sessions that they've done, but they've grown pretty close because of it. It's not the entire camp, but I will say he has at least been working some of the wrestling with Ngannou. Yeah. Camp.
Yeah, sure. No, but listen, a couple of sessions, again, it's not really enough. It's good. You might pick up a couple of little tips in that. And then sometimes it only needs one session if it's a really good little trick. Like I got showed something off of this wrestler. It was one time he showed me, and it's like, I still use it to this fucking day. And it drives people crazy. Say if you're clinched and you got a 50-50, you got an underhook and an overhook, right? They've got an underhook here. You overhook their arm, right? But rather than grabbing their arm like you do, you take it and you put it into the crack of the hip, right there. It's almost as if you're feeling the dick. And then when you do that motion, you armbar them. It armbars them from standing. And the wrestlers always disengage from the clinch. You're here, 50-50, the overhook arm reaches down to like the hip flexor, if you will, like the crotch, right where the crotch is.
Turning your hand out?
Yeah, you push your hand down like that. So you make like a blade. You push it into the crotch or like the hip flexor. And then you just straighten your arm and it armbars their arm and it causes them to disengage the clinch all the time. And every time Callum starts fucking wrestling me at home, I always do that. And then he goes, Dad, what are you doing? You're feeling my dick. Dad, what are you doing? That's massively inappropriate. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm fucking armbarring you and countering you, you little dickhead. Anyway, there you go. On that note, Callum Biscuit's a dickhead. And that is the end of the show. Have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy yourselves. Don't drink. Don't have too much sugar if you do.
And preachy stuff. Buy a horse.
Yeah, buy two horses. I'm fucking getting around on a
horse. Feel your kid's dick. Buy a horse. Don't drink.
Definitely
eat as much ketchup as you want.
Feel your kid's dick. And on that one, we'll see you on Monday. Adios, amigos.